you have this date in mind for Drake May's debut as a starter, Gerard, or was the plan that you've talked to us so much about, was that at all expedited?
Look, I don't think it's a secret. Our offense hasn't been performing the way that we all hoped it would. And so, you know, to answer your question, ask the question again. I want to make sure I say this right.
Was the plan expedited or?
No, I wouldn't say the plan was expedited. Like, again, the end of training camp, he was trending up, and that never slowed down. So at this point, he gives us the best chance to win.
High noon here on WEEI. It's Jones and Keith. Ask me the question again, Keith, just so I get it right.
Was the process expedited?
No, I wouldn't say it was expedited.
No, he's like, look, the offense stinks. It's basically what he's like, look,
that's an odd question.
What's your question?
I like how he basically was like, yeah, it was expedited, and yeah, this wasn't really the plan. Wait, ask me again. Was it expedited?
No, it totally wasn't. No.
I'm not sure the plan ever said week 8.
I don't know. Well,
or week 9, week 4.
I think they had a plan in mind.
You think they had a date, a game?
Yeah. Yes. I think they thought they would get, maybe even almost all the way to the bye week, Keith. Like, their plan.
Yeah.
I bet took them almost all the way. They were like, we can get 8, 10, 12 games out of Jacoby Brissett. I don't know exactly where it was, but
right.
I bet they had a plan, something like that. And obviously, we don't like that plan.
Right.
And they didn't get there. But if I had to guess, that was Van Pelt and Wolf's plan.
During the preseason, one of the times he was asked about the plan, remember one of the first things he said was Jacoby Brissett. Like, he brought up Jacoby Brissett by name, and you're like, okay. So to me, it was more Jacoby Brissett has to give us average quarterback play. Even slightly below average.
Which he did not.
Did not?
No.
And therefore, you open the door for Drake May's practice performances, if they really want to weigh in on that. And like, at what point does Drake May pass Brissett by? Where everybody can at least agree to that, right? I think we both think that Mayo wanted Drake May to play from the jump. But as these 5 weeks have unfolded, anybody who saw it the other way, it's a much easier argument to have. Because, yeah, in Alex Van Pelt's perfect world, Brissett might start all year long. But you can't have these performances week after week after week and justify sitting the number 3 pick.
No.
And so ultimately, even he probably had to give in to that.
And I think you make an interesting point when it comes to, you know, the amount of snaps that he was getting. Like, I say their plan was week 12-ish. Why were you giving him all these reps right away? Like, if you were so confident in Brissett and your plan, why were you giving him the reps right away? So it's a fair point. We'll get into your expectations here for Drake May in his first start against Houston. Text line 37937. The best chance to win at what is responding
football.
To Gerard Mayo there.
Football games.
Well, I agree. And by the way, people in the building agree. I gave you this Mike Giardi tweet earlier in
Gillette,
the day.
Not our building. No.
People in Gillette, not in our building,
right.
Correct. Where they're still, you know, picking a confetti out of all various places throughout this building.
It's everywhere.
Giardi said some internally believe the team would be 3-2 if they'd gotten better quarterback play. I agree with that.
I mean, you're not going to win every close game.
No.
But
I'm not telling you they would be 3-2 with Drake May, but with better quarterback play, they could be 3-2.
I'd say 2-3. Yeah. I'd feel pretty confident they beat Miami.
I mean,
Seattle's probably still a coin flip. Maybe you win that game.
And even if they were still 1-4, my guess is they win the Miami game, lose the Cincinnati game in that scenario.
Yeah,
Brissett gave you a little bit more week one than Drake May would have in his debut. But by week 5, could Drake May have beaten Miami and now you're on the upswing as opposed to going in the opposite direction? I think there'd even be value in that. But I believe Gerard Mayo when he says Drake May gives us the best chance to win. I don't think that's lip service.
Yeah, right.
Now, I don't think he's telling you they're going to be a playoff team or winning a Super Bowl or anything. But I believe Gerard Mayo when he says that. And I think Mayo's felt that way since August. I think he's felt that way for a long time.
Yeah. And as bad as the team is, they already have one win. Every single team in the NFL has one win. Like, it's so rare. Like, you don't have winless teams that often. And they play Jacksonville and Tennessee and the Rams. Those teams are all garbage.
I mean, even the Jets, Keith.
Even the Jets.
I know the Jets
right.
Dusted
like
them the other week, but
the Jets. The Jets could come back down. Chicago's no well-run operation yet. Indianapolis. So as bad as we feel like they are and as much of a slog as the Miami game was, that was still a 5-point game. Could have won. If Polk gets his tootsies in bounds, they win that game.
That's true.
Right? So, I mean, they're not that far off from a few wins. And I know some might argue, well, what's the difference between 3, 4, 5 wins? It's like, well, you're trying to develop these guys. If they can get some winning habits and things like that, like, you go for it. And, like, for every offensive lineman that's been out there and receiver and running back and every guy in defense, you owe it to him to play the best players and see if you can win as many games as possible, whether it's for this season or even whatever impact it has for next season.
Yeah, and that could be tied directly to Jerod Mayo's job security. So I just love the idea where he's like, wait a minute, what was the question? Repeat the question one more time. Was the plan expedited? No. Of course it was. Of course this wasn't
the plan.
This was the plan
all along?
And the plan was expedited for the organization. Maybe not for Mayo,
right. But
for the organization, this is an expedited plan.
It just so happened to come after the two worst per set games.
Right. Okay. And he told you without, anytime you need somebody to repeat a question like that,
right.
He told you without telling you.
More so, in this case, Brissett lost the job than May won it.
Yes.
Right, because I mean,
for the organization again, for Mayo, yeah. I think he won it in August. But for the organization, yes.
All right, two other potential factors for why Drake May is playing: it's a home game.
Yep,
you buy into that?
Yes, definitely.
And do you subscribe at all to Jabril Peppers being in the news for the worst reasons possible?
So maybe it's somewhere on the list, but I think it's so far down the list. But is that a possible consideration where you're like, look, this is also a benefit of starting him? Maybe. Like, it distracts from Jabril Peppers? Maybe, yeah. I don't think it's the reason.
No, neither do I. I also feel like if Brissett was playing a little bit better and this stuff happened with Jabril Peppers, I don't think they make the change to be like, hey, distract from it, here it is. Because obviously, anytime you bring in Drake May, it's going to be a huge story. It's going to be a big NFL story.
The first part has to do with the poor play on the field.
I think it's more that.
I agree with that.
I think it ends up being sort of a byproduct of it where you do distract a little bit. You steal headlines away from people talking about that horrible story, and it's more about the quarterback now.
You can jump in, 617-779-7937 with all your thoughts on Drake May and his debut, your expectations, and what you want to see out of Drake May, the stats, the scoring for the offense.
Speaking
all of this,
stats, yes. I got a couple of numbers here for you.
Oh, good.
Sportsbook Rhode Island puts the Drake May passing yards
over
under 162.5.
I would take the over on that. Now, some of that is related to, I think the Patriots are going to be down and they're going to need to throw, but I would take the under on that.
And also
the over on that.
The passing touchdown, so not your anytime touchdown, meaning he's got to run it in or catch it,
yep.
Like Jared Goff. Just strictly passing touchdowns over half a touchdown is -134 right now. I've been keeping tabs on this. It's been going up and down.
So they expect him to throw one.
They do expect him to throw one.
At least at this current moment in time. They expect
one, but... weighted, yeah.
Yeah, it's not. It's kind of... It's better than 50-50 he's going to throw one.
Right now it's +102 that he doesn't. So if you are really scared of Alex Van Pelt and you really are buying in on this Houston defense, maybe you grab that. But I actually think he does. I think he throws one.
So, you know, we can get into your expectations and what you want to see out of Drake May in this start. It can be specific numbers or not. Mine are less specific as it relates to his actual line. Because I think, again, game script can dictate a lot.
It could change a lot, yeah.
He can throw for 200 yards and three picks because they're down and they're throwing every play.
Yep.
And so I want to get to that. I do want to let people know, and yes. This is developed during the show, Keith.
Uh-oh.
We have an emergency Kiefer Madness for you at 12:45.
What the? And you know what? It's funny. You asked for, we haven't had a ton of creature features recently. This is another creature feature.
A lot of creatures.
Yes. Not this to give too much away, there's several of these creatures.
Oh, more than that.
I think it's the same creature, just many of them.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah. So that's an emergency
Kiefer
Madness we're going to be doing at 12:45. Hot off the presses. Go nowhere.
Yes.
What's your expectation? What do you want to see from Drake May in his first start?
So I just want to see the offense overall score two touchdowns. Like, if I'd put it as simple as that. Like, if the offense scores 17 points, maybe even 20, couple of Joey Sly field goals, couple of touchdowns, one passing, one running, just look more functional than it's been the last 3 weeks. The last 3 weeks, when they've had the ball, you're like, there's nothing good's going to come of this. It's going to be a three and out.
You just want to flip to red zone.
Right, like maybe Ramondre's going to fumble. Maybe there's going to be some like maddening play call. You know, it's not like Brissett was turning it over. Right, he had the one pick six, but just nothing downfield, not showcasing the receivers at all. So I just want to see fewer three and outs. I want to see plays and just the, you know.
Meaning like extended drives. Meaning
yeah,
you
like
want to
pick
see
up
plays.
A first
yeah,
down.
Yeah, yeah,
right. Like pick up a first down. Not like run, pass, punt. Run, pass, punt. Run, pass, punt.
Yeah.
No, and like show Drake May's, athletic ability a little bit. So, yeah, I'm with you. I don't know what the exact numbers are. I would take the over on 162.5. Whether it's a close game or whether it's a blowout. Like, if it's a blowout, for sure, like, you kind of have to get some garbage yards late. But even if they can keep this game close, like, is this still going to be a game in the second half where you're like, oh, it's only one possession. It's a one possession game. Like, they get the ball back. Maybe everything hasn't gone great, but like, they're in it. Like, that's what I want to see. We had somebody earlier say, just be watchable. Like, it's such a low bar that's a fair one. Toss that out there. But for me, it'd be more just a couple of drives. Like, can you score a touchdown where you start with the ball in your own territory? Or do you have to have the ball in the 30 for you to score a touchdown?
Right. So I want to see them test the intermediate and deep areas of the field. Like, really the intermediate one. Jacoby Brissett does not throw 10, 15, 20 yards down the field. They haven't
in the middle of the field.
Been doing that. Right. Even in the middle of the field. It's checkdowns and like short little outs to the tight end and screens and things like this. That's what they're doing largely. I mean, there's throws here and there. He bombed it down the field once against the 49ers when Jalen Polk was out of bounds. I want to see that. And if you want to mix in a few deep shots, you know, 20 plus yards, 25, 30, 40 yards downfield, great. Like, I'm all for that. That's not what I'm asking for. 15, 20 yards downfield. Can you do that? Can Drake May do that? And do you have him on the move, meaning throwing on the run?
Yeah.
And do you have some designed runs for him? I want that. That's part of his skill set. I don't need you on first and 10 drawing up a designed run for him. But you're in the red zone, that should be in play. He should be an extra guy the defense has to account for that will free up other weapons in the passing game. And even in the run game, if they have to now track and account for Drake May, Jacoby Brissett was not a threat outside of the Cincinnati game for any of that. Do you have a third and short where you can dial up a play for him and say, look, let's go pick this up with your feet. You're an offensive weapon. He has an arm. Use it. 15, 20 yards downfield. Brissett never does that. He has athleticism. Use that. Those are the things I want to see this weekend. And, you know, I like your number. Get in the end zone twice offensively.
Two touchdowns. Not asking for the world.
Two offensive touchdowns, yeah. 17 points. Like, I would feel pretty good about that. And the big one is you're allowed to turn it over. You can throw a pick. You probably will throw a pick.
Yeah.
You can't have one of those games where we look up and go,
Jesus.
A Nathan Peterman game, like you said.
Like,
I heard the Greg Hill show talking about
four
this.
Four picks or something insane.
A Zach Wilson kind of game. You know, even some of those Bo Pix ones early on.
Taking like, safeties.
I don't want that kind of just egregious decision-making. You have a bad throw.
Happens.
Of course it's going to happen.
I think he's throwing a pick. Like, I would feel like that's a pretty safe bet.
You know, so like, we'll get on him if he throws a bad pick. But that, to me, isn't the end of the world. The end of the world would be one of these 3-4 interception games where he can't complete passes, they can't move the ball, they don't score on offense, and the decision-making looks atrocious. Like, that's what you can't do. But that's, again, a pretty low bar.
Right. 25.5 rushing yards is the line. That's a good line.
I don't know that I'm over that number.
Yeah,
because I don't need a lot of designed runs for him.
No, but if there's a couple broken plays, and I wonder, this is going to be a big test early. Like, does he look to run too much? Right? Does he, if the first read's not there, is he running?
Well, the Jets game would be an indication. Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe
that's the case.
So yeah, maybe take a little sprinkle and a rushing touchdown is +360.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet that.
All right. You don't want plus three?
Giving away the Bozo touchdown parlay on Thursday?
No. Okay. I got some more research to do for the Bozo.
Yeah, same. So what are your expectations for Drake May this weekend? What do you want to see out of Drake May this weekend? You can jump in at 617-779-7937. Let's go to Coach up in New Hampshire. What's up, Coach?
Jones, you just was spot on with what the Patriots offense is. 10 yards deep, 53 yards wide, and maybe a slight sliver of the sideline. They never, and not just this year, they have never in the last 3-4 years attacked the middle of the field, even at a 20-yard depth. And number two, Keith, you were listing maybe why Drake May. Here's one that you should think about. This point, evaluating Alex Van Pelt with Brissett, give him an F. Maybe the coaching staff and the organization has to continue to evaluate Alex Van Pelt, maybe with a better quarterback or a different quarterback. Because he may not be long for the place if it doesn't go any better.
Okay.
Thanks.
No, Coach, we've talked about this before. You know, you asked the question early in the week, Keith. I think it's a good question. Like, who stands to gain and lose the most? And, like, I didn't really...
That's an odd question.
It was not an odd question. It was a very good question, Alex. I think Van Pelt stands to lose the most. Because if Drake May goes out and looks like a disaster and he's the future of the franchise... They're not trading or cutting Drake May.
No.
Jerod Mayo probably survives the year. So who's going to pay for that?
He has the least job security out of all the guys. So Mayo, Van Pelt, May. Like, it's clearly Van Pelt.
A lot of his job security was tied to Brissett being decent, keeping your hands at 10-2, offense looks okay, And the idea is at some point, maybe late this year, maybe next year, you're going to transition to Drake May. That was his job security.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's what he had. He doesn't have that anymore.
If you had Brissett for 12 games and May for 5, even if May struggled for 5, I feel like you're trotting it back. Yeah. You're like, all right, let's see what this guy can do. He's under contract and let's do it. But if now it's the other way, 5 games of Brissett, 12 of Drake May, and you're not calling things great for him, and he's getting smoked out there.
I mean, on Monday, Jerod Mayo got asked about a change at play caller
already,
in season.
I know.
And, like, obviously teams are doing it. The Jets are doing that right now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they've blown up the whole thing.
Yeah.
But, like, the Jets also made a transition at play caller.
Is there another team that was doing it, too? Or at least maybe another team that's, like, talking about it.
Jacksonville.
Peterson took over play calling, right? Is that what it was?
Or they want him to. I think it's
something.
One of the
they're talking
something
about
like
it. That. Yeah. So, you know, the Jets are underachieving. Jacksonville was winless last week. You're in that boat.
Yeah.
So I asked you this earlier in the show. Who do you think this sets up best for early and helps the most, making the switch from Jacoby Brissett to Drake May?
I hope it's Jalen Polk. And I'll say that it is Jalen Polk. My I guess, wishful thinking is there is some sort of rookie connection. You know, these guys come into the league together, and you've seen him, Polk, be pretty frustrated. He's not the only one. And he's also been at the center of a couple of, like, almost catches. And I know this one, like, he didn't know the rule. And I think he still doesn't know the rule.
Yeah, he seems very
pretty stubborn.
On it.
But just give him some opportunities. I think out of all the guys they have on offense, not counting the running backs, you're thinking, all right, best chance to be really good in the league. I still put it on Polk. And maybe it can be unlocked by Drake May. Maybe Drake May throws the ball downfield a little bit more. Not that Polk's like this burner or anything, but still just a open up different routes for him to run, which you didn't have necessarily with Jacoby Brissett. So my hope is Jalen Polk. Who do you got?
So I think long term, like if you're asking me by December, who does this help the most? It's Polk. But I think immediately on Sunday, it's Douglas. And I think you saw that on the one drive he got.
Frustrated guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, look, I the guy with the higher ceiling for me out of those two, and the guy that I hope has the better connection long term with Drake May, is Jalen Polk. And that can be the intermediate and deep areas of the field. But I think to get him going in this first game, I'd imagine Douglas is involved, short, you know, drive starters and things like that. I imagine he's the guy they try to get going. And then if they're moving the ball down the field and the playbook opens up a little bit, then he can start peppering down the field to the Jalen Polks of the world. I think week one, Douglas is the guy that's probably helps out the most. We might be missing an obvious one, though. It might help the running game, Keith. Just the threat
could.
Of a quarterback who can throw and the threat of a quarterback who can test the second and third levels of the field, that may help Ramondre Stevenson.
Although the thing that has stopped Ramondre Stevenson thus far
is Ramondre Stevenson
and play calling. Ramondre Stevenson for sure. I'd put him first. You can't fumble 4 times. But then also Van Pelt, for whatever reason, feeling that they needed to throw it more against Miami and New York, where you could have just ran it more and you might have had more success. Real quick, one of the texts that came in says, do you think Kraft is going to fire his handpicked guy after 1 year with a bleep roster? Nope, sorry.
Was that in reference to me mentioning Jerod Mayo real quick, or is he talking about Van Pelt?
I mentioned Van Pelt being the one that's on the hottest seat, and I don't think he was Kraft's handpicked guy by any stretch.
Well,
he was the 12th interview, and Elliott Wolf knew him, and he took the job. I think Kraft would have no problem moving it. They've had 4 coordinators in 4 years.
I don't even think
he'd find another one.
I don't think Van Pelt or Kraft really even knows Van Pelt.
He might not. He might have never talked to him.
Like, I mean, I'm sure he's heard of him at this point.
He likes Mayo. He's holding on to Mayo, and I think he likes Wolf enough, but I can't speak to his relationship with Van Pelt.
I wonder, I saw that text as well. I wonder if that was in reference to me saying
maybe
Mayo might not survive the year. I think he survives the year.
I think Mayo's locked in for 3.
Yeah, Van Pelt is not handpicked by the Grass. If that's the text, then
I agree.
That's not the case. He was handpicked by Elliott Wolf.
Yeah,
that's who he was handpicked by.
Like, okay.
Yeah, that doesn't get you anything.
Great.
You'll be out.
Gets you a bowl of soup.
If the offense doesn't look good in December and Drake May looks like he's teetering and not developing, Van Pelt won't make it through the year. Yeah, forget getting a second year. He won't make it through the year.
Right.
617-779-7937. And a related story, we'll be talking to Alex Van Pelt in a few weeks.
Can't wait.
Here on Jones and Keith. Who do we get tomorrow? Is it DeMarcus Covington?
I think Covington tomorrow. Defense has played well. He should be in a good mood.
We get DeMarcus Covington tomorrow.
What do I always say about my defenses? We play as
a defense?
No, I say unit, right, guys.
Unit.
Come on,
you
unit.
Guys, we're good as a what? We're good as a what? Unit. As a unit.
Does he do call and response with us? I don't think he's going to like his answer.
You guys know me, DeMarcus Covington. I always say that. Yeah, he's not going to like the answer.
Or just like... We play as a...
you guys kind of have stunk it up.
Never mind.
Quite frankly, yeah, it doesn't work as well with us. 617-779-7937. We'll get into C.J. Stroud, the quarterback on the other side. Things turned on a dime in Houston. How far away are you from being the Houston Texans where you are a free agent destination and you are a Super Bowl contender? It was pretty much one pick that turned that around in Houston. We can get to that. Plus, the NBA's GM survey is out from John Schumann over at NBA.com. A few interesting takeaways in there. Joe Mazzulla not getting enough love. Brad Stevens.
Interesting.
Very high on another team in the Eastern Conference, and it's not the team you may expect.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a great opportunity, you know, something you dream of, you know, getting your first start in the NFL. So really excited to get out there with the guys, take advantage of, you know, having the full week to get prepared and try to put the best foot forward to help the team win.
Drake May, excited for his debut. A lot of you are excited for Drake May making his first start. All your thoughts, all your expectations, what do you expect out of him, what do you want to see on Sunday? I'll just reiterate, a year ago, C.J. Stroud and the Texans, no one knew, maybe this time a year ago, so a week or a year plus 5 weeks, rather, no one knew what they were going to be. They started 0-2 last year. And
going into that year, I remember specifically, just because we always do like predictions or whatever, the AFC seemed so competitive a year ago. And I remember thinking 14 of the 16 teams have a chance to make the playoffs. And the Texans were one of the ones I said no.
You said their Vegas over-under last year going into the year was 6.5.
Yep, and they won 10.
They won 10 and a round in the postseason.
Right.
And now Houston is a free agent destination.
Oh, yeah.
They brought in Danielle Hunter. They brought in Joe Mixon. They also traded for Stephon Diggs. That's not a free agent, but that's also a diva wide receiver.
Don't
who, like,
Dalton Schultz.
Is he going to want to go anywhere? Did they have Schultz last year or Schultz
they?
New this year?
I don't remember. Yeah. But I thought he was with the Cowboys. But anyway, yeah, he, Diggs, well, like, I think was happy to go there. Was like, yeah.
Well, you need, even though it's a trade, you kind of need his approval to, as we've learned with some of these players. Like, Devontae Adams is kind of calling the shots on where he's going to go.
They kind of all have no trade clauses.
Yeah, he can withhold services. Hassan Reddick is another one.
Still although, is I guess, withholding.
Although, I guess he's the fear there. He said, yeah. I might not want to go there without a contract. They did it anyway, and
they're
like,
the we're good.
But if Diggs doesn't fit perfectly, fine. Leave that one off the list. They signed Danielle Hunter for big money. They signed Joe Mixon. They're a free agent destination.
They were a trendy Super Bowl pick this year.
And we, just focusing on us, we have them on that top tier now as a Super Bowl contender because they're 4-1 and they look like they're onto something. And they're good enough, I think, to overcome a Nico Collins injury. We're going to see. But they have Diggs. They have Tank Dell. They have other weapons. They overnight turned into that. A free agent destination and a Super Bowl contender because of the quarterback. That's it. Nothing else happened there. That's what happened. And that can happen with the Patriots. It's a high-end comp, but understand how quickly it can change.
Oh, it's amazing.
For how miserable we all are and how down we think it is, understand how quickly it can change. Because 2 years ago, the Texans were a joke and a laughingstock, and Jack Easterby had helped shove out Bill O'Brien, and they had traded away DeAndre Hopkins, and they had brought in David Johnson, and it was like a mess, and they were a disaster.
The corpse of David Johnson.
And they were like so poorly run. Yeah. And now they're a Super Bowl contender and a free agent destination overnight because of the quarterback.
They were one of the biggest jokes in the league for like a three-year stretch because it's easier to forget now, but in 2021, they had David Culley as their head coach. Remember David Culley? He was like 95 years old. They were like, give him a shot, and he was horrible. They fired him after 1 year. They brought in Lovie Smith, who this also takes a little bit of luck because Lovie Smith in his last move as a head coach won the game, knocked them down from the number one pick to the number two pick. Therefore, they did not take Bryce Young. They took C.J. Stroud. But they had a one-and-done coach in Culley, a one-and-done coach in Lovie Smith. They bring in D'Amico Ryans, who had never been a head coach, with a rookie quarterback.
Hang on. Go back one more year. Did O'Brien survive the year before that?
No.
So it was five coaches in 4 years they had.
Yep.
Complete
Romeo
disaster.
Crennel took
complete
over at the end of that one.
Complete disaster.
Yeah, it was a mess.
O'Brien, Crennel, Culley. Who was the other one you said?
Lovie Smith,
thank you. And then D'Amico, five coaches in 4 years they had.
If you count their playoff win, they won as many games last season as they did the previous three. Like, it's insane. Like, they looked like a joke. They looked like, all right, this team is going to be horrible for a long time. Like, the new Browns, the new Lions, the new whatever.
What changed? They had Laramie Tunsil? No, Tunsil was on a lot of those teams.
They had a little guy named C.J. Stroud.
Oh, they had Nico Collins. Nico Collins didn't do anything until he got C.J. Stroud. DeMario Douglas had better numbers last year than Nico Collins had in either of his first 2 years in the
NFL. The Nico Collins thing drives me nuts. Like, he's very good now.
Oh, they got Tank Dell. Yeah, Tank Dell's a rookie like Jalen Polk.
They passed up on Tank Dell last year.
A quarterback can unlock a lot.
So they also
turn on a dime. time.
They had the 30th ranked offense in 2021 and 2022, so they were consistent.
With Nico Collins and Laramie Tunsil.
They had all
those
guys.
That's weird. How'd they do that? I thought those guys were stars.
Rex Burkhead, ever hear of him?
The Patriots almost lost to that team with Mac Jones.
Brandon Cooks, ever hear of him?
Mm-hmm.
And then they jumped up to 13th. So they went from 30th to 13th with the rookie quarterback.
So keep that in mind when you're watching Houston.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a four-year rebuild. It can turn quickly. 617-779-7937. The Celtics turned it around very, very quickly.
They did.
They add Jaylen Brown. They add Jason Tatum. Next thing you know, you're in business. You had the one-year tank.
They really had one-year tank.
And it all
pretty
turned
amazing.
Around, right? Yeah. Quick turnaround. And that would be a great model long-term for the Patriots. But this GM survey that comes out every year from John Schumann, and he's been doing it now, I think, for like 12 or 13 years, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the Celtics are the favorite. We touched on this in Grab Bag on Monday. They're the favorite to win the championship. Duh. They're unanimous to get out of the East, almost.
Mm.
So there's a few things to read into in this survey. And again, this is all GMs that are surveyed throughout the league.
Yes, all 30 of them.
It's important to know you cannot vote for your own team.
Got it.
And so the Celtics were unanimous to get out of the East, except for one vote. Correct? Do I have this right? Terp? Maybe yes. Terp can
Terp sniff this out, so we're going to blame Terp if it's wrong. But this is a great reading between the lines here by Terp.
So one GM voted for Cleveland
as
the best team in the East, and that means Brad Stevens could not vote for his Celtics.
If he was following the rules, which I feel like Brad Stevens would.
Oh, big stickler for the rules.
Big
rules follower.
So he voted for
the Cleveland Cavaliers.
That's my team. I think they're the second best team.
So interesting. So you and Brad Stevens both like Cleveland.
We know hoop.
Obviously, he's not down on his own team. That's not the case we're making.
No.
But Brad Stevens, that's his way of letting you know he doesn't either fear, if you want to put it one way,
yeah,
or really love the moves that the Sixers and the Knicks made.
It is bizarre that you kind of force him into bulletin board material. Like, I'm sure the last thing Stevens wants to do is be on record saying that the Knicks with their moves and the Sixers with their moves aren't the next best team. Right, like if you asked Brad Stevens face-to-face in an interview, you said, who's the biggest challenge in the East? No chance he just tells you Cleveland or even picks one team.
You wouldn't think, yeah.
He would either say, you know, our biggest challenge is us. You know, like we got to stay healthy or like whatever like that. No, we can't be complacent. Or he would name like five teams. That's just my guess.
So here you go. So here's the actual math on it. 97%, 29 out of 30 GMs. Voted for the Celtics to win the East. 3% voted for Cleveland. You're not allowed to vote for your own team, which means
you pick Cleveland. I think it's great, and I agree with him.
I mean,
but
it has to be that.
But because
Brad Stevens can't vote for the Celtics. 29 GMs did. He had to have voted for Cleveland.
So it's anonymous to a point because you can easily sniff it out if there's a situation
if it's
like
that
this.
Imbalanced. Yes,
it's probably the only way you can do it. Or I mean, if there's like two votes, but that you wouldn't know which team it was for or whatever. But. Because, like, the West is much more wide open, right? Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of teams that could win
so
the West.
So bulletin board material for the Knicks and the – Brad Stevens, headline. Headline from the John Schumann NBA GM survey.
Kind of is.
Brad Stevens thinks the Sixers and Knicks kind of stink.
Now,
sneaky stink.
Does that carry weight with Joel Embiid?
P.U. Gee Willikers, these teams stink.
Does Joel Embiid take that and care? I don't know.
There's no way this is going to cross their bow. Terp sniffed it out. Good job by Terp. There's no way this is on their radar.
You don't think Jalen Brunson is going to be up at night thinking about this?
Right.
Like
Uncle Leo lifting weights. Yeah. Jerry, hello. Like he's just doing over and over again.
A lot of rivalry. Pretty bad. They always kick our ass.
Yeah, Embiid could be steaming about it. I think other GMs might make note of it, though. Be like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting.
I do. The other one that I know got some people hot and bothered. This is interesting.
Yes.
Best head coach in the NBA. You wouldn't say Mazzulla's the best head coach, right?
No, probably not.
I know Wiggy's made that case.
I think everybody has said Spoelstra, and I would probably have to say Spoelstra, too, because I don't think the Heat are that good.
It's Spoelstra,
for
sure.
And they keep winning. So.
And you and I mean, this is a long time ago, a decade ago, working together, we used to mock Eric Spoelstra. We're
correct.
Like, what a joke, what a little twerp.
Just getting water for LeBron.
You're selling every other head coach for LeBron. But it turns out...
No, he's actually awesome.
No, he's a great coach. So, Mark Daigneault finished second for Oklahoma City. Steve Kerr finished third, which is a
Daigneault,
joke.
Daigneault, the local
that's a
guy,
joke.
Right?
Yeah, I think he's Leominster.
Yeah, yeah.
So Steve Kerr finishing third is a joke. That's an absolute joke.
He's not.
Mark Daigneault over Mazzulla, I would question as well. Mazzulla got no votes. Mike Budenholzer, Chris Finch got votes. So he does not show up in the best head coach in the NBA. This is not fans. This
Didn't
is GM's
Budenholzer
ranking.
Just get fired like 2 years ago?
Correct. But when asked about the best motivator or manager of people, Joe Mazzulla finished third. behind Kerr and Spoelstra. When asked which head coach has the best offense, Mazzulla finished second to Rick Carlisle. When asked which coach has the best defensive scheme, he finished fourth behind Spoelstra, Finch, and Thibodeau.
So he's top four offense and defense?
He's fourth in defense, second in offense, and the third best motivator, and yet he got no votes as the best
and
head
motivator.
Coach.
So yes. What else is there? Those are the three things, I think.
I don't understand.
Can't get a sniff. Yeah, he's not getting a lot of credit because the roster is so good. That happens a lot.
Right. You think Steve Kerr's a great coach? He had an awesome roster. What are you talking about?
100%.
You know,
it's not consistent at all.
Spoelstra, I get. Daniel has a great roster. It's young, but it's a great roster in Oklahoma City. Everybody who wins has great rosters.
True.
And so, look, I had plenty of questions about Mazzulla, just like I questioned Spoelstra early on. I was wrong about both. Mazzulla should at least be in the top five as a head coach, right?
I would think so, especially if the Celtics are unanimous to come out of the East this year. Like they're going to run away with it.
Their own GM doesn't believe in them.
But also, and I know their roster has changed, but the, Stevens couldn't break through. Udoka got there but couldn't win it. So, like, Mazzulla took this team and, like, broke through. Like, he was able to do it. Like, he got the most out of those guys. So, yeah, he won me over because his first year, I was like, I'd roll my eyes at most of the stuff that he said. You're like, oh, my God, like, this guy? But the players like him. They all think he's a maniac.
I mean, he talks like a serial killer.
He does. Yeah. Well documented. He talks like a serial killer.
We've proven on this show, yes.
People were stumped left, right, and center trying to figure that out.
Correct.
But no, he's won me over. I mean, in the NBA, it is such a players' league. Like, it is all about the players. But if you are ranking the coaches, I don't know how you can't take the reigning NBA champion and give him more credit than he's getting.
No, this I agree. It's like, we can debate how much of an impact Mazzulla really has, but how much of an impact does any coach
compared to the other guys?
It's about the roster.
Yeah.
Could Mazzulla coach the Oklahoma City Thunder where Mark Daniel coached them last year? My guess is yes. All due respect, Leominster, my guess is yes.
So, you know who I think might actually be a top three or four coach?
Yeah, Carlisle?
Ime Udoka.
Oh, Udoka.
Rockets team is trash. Now, they missed the playoffs, but they were right there. But they were close.
But they started hot and kind of fell off, didn't they? Or did I have that wrong?
Yeah, they finished 500.
Yeah.
That roster's garbage.
True.
And so I think if you're looking at it that way, like who got the most out of their roster? Because all the other guys that we're talking about have Hall of Famers on their team, essentially. Maybe Jalen Green will be great one day, but there's not a lot there in Houston. So I think he's pretty damn good.
I do still like Carlisle's a little insufferable as an individual, but I do still like Carlisle as a coach.
Well, that was a big bounce back for him because he was toiling away what's up with this guy?
It fell flat for him. Yeah. It fell flat for him as it does with a lot of coaches when they're around for
too
long.
You don't have Popovich number one?
I really, speaking of guys I really can't stand. 617-779-7937. That's the NBA GM survey. Comes out annually. Some takeaways there. We'll get back into your Drake May thoughts on the phones. And we have an emergency creature feature, Kiefer Madness, next. Stay tuned.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Kiefer, I think it is. Rich Kiefer.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now? It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Kiefer?
Where is he?
Where's Kiefer?
Where is Kiefer?
Hey, Kiefer, you're a dude.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Kiefer's a nice guy.
Kiefer's a nice guy.
Okay. Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
The maid of honor hit the bottle hard and almost hit the best man with his own car.
Are there guys who kick with both legs?
Send me naked pictures
of
you.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I played at a high level myself. Mm-hmm. Two MVPs.
Nice. All right, here we go. Time for Kiefer Madness, an emergency madness here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. It's a back-to-back creature feature because we had a crazy story just on Tuesday.
The little guy wasn't exactly eager to come out.
It's amazing
about an alligator.
We all know how that goes.
I was surprised by the size of it.
Same.
It's amazing how, you say, boy, we haven't done a lot of creature features here. And
they literally come out of the
woodwork. Madness. Yep. The Madden I find you. Mm-hmm. The creature features apparently find you.
So we go to the great state of Washington. The Apple State, I believe.
The Apple Cup.
Annually, the Apple Cup. Although maybe they're not the same conference anymore.
No, that's a good point.
Wazoo's
left playing.
Washington. Steve Belichick's Washington Huskies.
Wazoo's in a conference like Utah State now.
Yeah,
that's not great.
They're in a conference with New Bedford and Fall River.
And Wazoo plays Ohio Big State two. Every weekend. Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's find out what's going on out there.
Usually, when sheriff's deputies get called to a home invasion to find some masked bandits,
they're not already wearing prison stripes.
The hell is going on here? But yeah. God, color me intrigued.
Careful, lady.
I'm in on this. Yeah, I don't know where this is going to go. Dangerous.
Yeah.
Dangerous. Prison stripes, masked bandits.
Like the wet bandits, like the sticky bandits. They didn't really wear. They didn't really wear masks so much.
They never should have rebranded. Wet bandits is where it was at.
Wet bandits was
wet bandits.
It's a calling card.
Yep.
Sticky bandits also was kind of gross.
It's disgusting.
I mean, it's a gross name.
Gross name.
But also,
also,
like,
do you want to deal with that?
Well, yeah. And he was
just flood the house when
he
leave.
Was. Well, like when he was at Rockefeller Center, he's out there skating around and he's stealing the mittens and everything off people. Gross.
It's too much.
Just real gross.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
A Poulsbo woman.
She felt the raccoons were threatening.
Called
raccoons.
Oh,
raccoon. That makes sense now. So we're dealing with raccoons
and they're masked.
Yes, they're masked and wearing jail stripes.
Got it.
So she was apparently threatened by these raccoons.
A Poulsbo woman.
She felt the raccoons were threatening.
Called 911 after her home was surrounded by raccoons.
All right, how many raccoons would have to be outside of your house for you to call the police?
Like 10? If I saw like 10 raccoons.
10 raccoons, you're calling the police?
10 of them?
Wasted. What? You saw 10, for me, it'd be like 10,000.
Okay.
If I saw more than, I'd be like 10 raccoons, I'd be like, look at this.
I guess,
guys are great.
I guess, hang on, police maybe? But like animal
call the police?
Okay, but like call somebody? Maybe not police, but like
a friend of yours?
If I got like 10 raccoons outside the house.
10 raccoons?
Yeah.
How fast do you call them, though?
In the city? I don't know, like, I'm calling animal, police is wrong, but like, I'm calling like animal, I'm calling somebody.
They're just walking around, minding their business, like peeking in the trash can.
10?
Yeah.
10's a lot.
Boston Massacre in the Twitch chat says 10 raccoons to go hang out with them.
Okay, but
we're like Rocket Raccoon.
Where do you live? Like if right in downtown Boston, I'm not 10 raccoons. That's a lot of raccoons.
That'd be alarming.
That's what I'm saying.
That'd be alarming.
Yeah.
So
police, I strike that from the record. But like animal control, I'm calling somebody.
I got ermines living in my shed at one point. I'd take a few raccoons.
You're like a zoo.
I do.
Wasp everywhere and ermine.
A lot of wildlife.
I'm sure there's a bunch of raccoons. So my number's 10. Your number's 10,000.
10,000. So slightly north of yours.
Okay.
This is something you don't see every day.
35 years ago, you first started feeding raccoons, and then when all of a sudden did it explode like this?
6 weeks ago.
6 weeks ago.
So you may not have heard that. 35 years ago, she started feeding raccoons, and then 6 weeks ago, the population exploded? Is that how that works?
How stupid are raccoons?
So if you're feeding raccoons at your house right now, just be prepared. In 35 years, in the year 2059, there's going to be a boom in raccoon activity.
Give or take 3 or 4 decades.
Yeah.
This is your future.
So she's like, I started feeding raccoons 35 years ago.
First of all, what?
They live 5 years. I was literally just trying to see that they live 5 years.
This is their
grandsons and daughters. Generations of raccoons. All of a sudden, they finally figured out. They're like, hey, you know, this lady's just giving away free food.
The longest surviving wild raccoon lived for 16 years, apparently.
Wait, they only live 5 years?
The average lifespan is about 5 years.
Keith, should start feeding these guys more often. Yeah, put them in the house, for God's sake.
You see how many of them are just run over by cars?
Most of them.
A lot of them.
I've seen more dead raccoons than live raccoons.
What happened to Ralph? Oh, he got hit by a truck.
He got smoked.
Yeah.
He's on the side of the road for who knows, weeks on end.
Yeah. He went the way of Bill and Johnny and Ernie.
Do you love that gif of that raccoon that's in the trash can that slides the door open and you stand there? I love that. I love that one.
Do you ever see the video of the old guy feeding them hot dogs on his porch?
Yes.
No,
there's quite a few of them.
Of hot dogs, and he's feeding like 30 plus raccoons.
They only live 5 years. We should all feed them hot dogs.
30 plus?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, YouTube it.
I'm calling
just
it.
Just literally
I'm
old man control. Hot dogs,
old
raccoons.
Man hot dogs. They're, and they love it.
Old
they've, like,
man hot dogs. They literally. What are you, meat spinning me over here? Like,
no.
I'm not falling for this.
They like got in line, and they were like waiting for their turn. They're like, it was my turn.
One stand on his shoulder. He's like, hey, I already finished mine.
Let me in here.
I'm
I know
duck,
you.
Duck going this right now.
She told deputies she'd been leaving food out for the raccoons since the 1980s.
Among the raccoon population here in Poulsbo, word got out about the midnight all-you-can-eat buffet.
All right, you're doing too much. Just tell us the story. The story's good
what's
on its own.
Yeah, what's going on with the raccoons?
You don't need to dress it up anymore. It's doing fine.
By October 3rd, nearly 100 of them had invaded the woman's property, deputies tell us.
100 raccoons.
It's a sizable amount.
So obviously word spread, a good word of mouth in the raccoon community. As she was only feeding a couple of these guys, they immediately went and told their buds.
Not
they all got together. Well, not immediately, but it got passed down generation to generation. And then eventually they were like,
they're like sitting around the campfire. They're like telling stories. They're like, you know, as the legend goes.
Ever hear the old story?
There's
the
an old woman
or whatever.
There's an old woman in Posebo.
Posebo.
She's handing out free food.
Like, no. Oh, is he talking about the Posebo woman again? No chance.
Oh, my God.
They go out there and they're eating like kings.
I am watching this video of this old man, but not to take away.
This old man is sitting.
These are fat raccoons, by the way.
Well, they're eating hot dogs all their life.
He is sitting at the raccoons are like crawling around on his shoulders.
Yeah, they don't have to chase down their prey. They're just literally eating hot dogs from this guy.
And he's in a Bruins hat. Was this a local video?
Go Bees.
Where was this?
That was Jeremy Swayman. He's just sitting there. Could be Tim Thomas, actually, for all we know. That's Tim Thomas. What's Thomas up to now? He's feeding raccoons hot dogs.
He's feeding raccoons.
Well, raccoons trying to get on our back porch. Mama just chasing him off with a broom.
You could. Or you could feed them.
Yeah.
And well, 35 years later, they come back and
maybe somebody's feeding them. You got to chase them off the porch with a broom.
So she called the cops because there's 100 raccoons. Like, what a sight. Yeah. I think you have to turn.
Ma'am, what's going on at your house? Well, I've been feeding them for 35 years. Oh, okay.
Ma'am, this is a good job for Ace Ventura.
Wasting
back to YouTube. YouTube a raccoon eating grapes. Funniest thing you'll ever see.
I love it.
In your life.
Oh, they take their time.
They get their tiny little human hands and they try to, like, protect them if you go towards
these
them.
These little mitts, they go, nope. Nope, that's mine. I think
Billy is just...
He's right.
What is your...
Team raccoon.
What is your algorithm?
Mostly raccoons.
They love hot dogs. I love hot dogs.
A lot of raccoon stuff.
Mostly raccoon stuff. I don't hate it. I think they're very adorable. I know they can pass rabies, but I feel like that's been overblown.
They're the stars of Great Outdoors.
Yeah.
That's true. So you think they've...
I think it's been overblown. They are, unfortunately, the face of rabies, where they are not the only creature with rabies. And I'm sure percentage-wise, they're not even the most rabid creature.
That's probably true. So you think they've been a bit stigmatized?
Yes.
Typecast, if you will. Yeah.
So I think we should all feed them hot dogs. Also, I know there's too many content creators out there today, but if 100 raccoons were on your back deck, all of a sudden, you now have to be the YouTube raccoon guy. You would get Billy and many others... Watching all your videos.
Well, definitely Billy.
But if you just had video, like how many clicks would you get on that?
I don't know.
100 raccoons in the same place at the same time?
They are pretty cute woofing down grapes.
They're so cute. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Swarming around her home night and day.
Oh, boy. See, they need to sleep at some point, and now they just got...
You tap it on the windows.
Yeah.
So how about if it's...
They're relentless.
How about if it's 100 raccoons during the day?
Terrifying.
Are you calling anybody?
Well,
how many during the day?
I do have small kids.
How many during the day until you call?
Yeah. Well, probably 1,000. I'd lower that number. 10,000 at night. That's fine. These are nocturnal creatures.
That's what they do. Yeah.
They were shocked. They had never seen that many raccoons in one place.
Oh, is that right? They've never seen 100 at the same time? Oh, you guys don't get out much, do you? You ever seen 100 raccoons gathered around?
I don't think I've ever seen more than one. Maybe two.
I've seen two.
Yeah.
Buds. Helping each other.
Hanging out.
Or maybe climbing on each other to get in the trash can.
Real will they, won't they?
Yeah, bro. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
They probably will.
Lady and the Tramp and some of the leftover pasta.
I saw that raccoon smooch that other raccoon.
The neighbors like Wendy Kronk.
I'd say it's been about...
Wendy Kronk.
They buried the lead here.
Fake name.
Yeah. Wendy Kronk.
She didn't want to give her a real name to the news.
What's your name? Wendy
Kronk.
Kronk.
Okay, lady.
Sure.
Whatever.
Even neighbors pull the lever. Kronk.
Nick had that ready to go.
Even neighbors like Wendy Kronk.
I'd say it's been about the last month or so I've noticed it.
Are also seeing an uptick.
The last month they've noticed.
No.
100.
That's not what she said. She said, I think the last month or so. I would know the day.
You'd remember that.
I would know the exact day there were 100 raccoons outside my house. I think the last month or so.
It's a moment in time, lady.
She's like, this is what she's really telling you is this has slowly gotten out of control over 35 years and she doesn't want to acknowledge it.
Yeah, randomly about a month ago, a bunch just showed up.
30.
What a liar
Wendy Kronk is.
Even neighbors like Wendy Kronk.
I'd say it's been about the last month or so I've noticed it.
Are also seeing an uptick.
I've had several raccoons in the yard recently. My dogs have gotten in a scuffle several times with raccoons.
Scuffle?
Yeah.
I guess it depends on what kind of dog you have.
Most dogs
should be able to handle themselves against a raccoon. Yeah, but then again, there are a lot of small dogs.
Get them checked out. Oh, my dog.
Your dog would get smoked.
Zero chance.
Violated.
He'd be rabid.
Yeah, that's true.
If he survived, he'd be rabid. We'd have to take him out behind the house.
He's like, can you guys chew up my hot dogs for me and then I can eat the paste?
Trying to bite everybody with rabies. You're like, he can't even transmit rabies.
He's actually fine.
Don't have any teeth. He's fine. It's fine being a rabid
dog.
Don't
worry about it.
Coons, I even had to take
Wait a minute. What did you say?
Pulled several times with raccoons. I even had to take one of my dogs to the vet after tussling with the raccoon.
I would hope.
And I've also noticed there's been a lot more hit raccoons up on the main road here.
This lady's not being blamed for roadkill.
All these obese raccoons. They used to be able to dodge the cars,
fat,
and now they're
dead
like
raccoons. Yeah, it's on you, lady.
They can't move the way they
just
used
fat
to.
And happy now.
Yeah,
they are.
Trapping and relocating them will cost the woman $500 per raccoon.
Wow!
What the hell?
Maybe you shouldn't have called the cops on these raccoons.
Yeah, you've done it now.
$500 per raccoon?
Yep.
What is 50 grand?
Yeah, I'm trying to do the math. Is that what it is? Yeah, 50 grand.
50 grand I'm to get rid of raccoons?
I'm so bad at math, I had to get
right?
out of my phone.
Okay.
You're 100% right, yeah.
Like, good Lord.
Deputies say she's concerned.
Yeah, 50 grand. I'd be concerned,
I would
too.
Be a little
I'd
concerned, too. Yeah, I called the cops. I didn't realize it was going to cost me 50K. I'd like to take that back. Thank you very much.
Just kidding. There are none. We have none. Everything's fine.
Deputies say she's concerned. Kronk just hopes the issue gets resolved soon.
I do hope that somebody steps in and helps her, take care of this problem, and hopefully she'll quit doing it.
Well, it's sort of like,
it's
her fault.
Yeah, it was a bit of a lecture there at the
she
end.
She needs help, and it's her fault.
Yeah.
In Kitsap County, Maddie White, King 5 News.
Deputies also urged against feeding wild animals because it can be both unhealthy for them and dangerous for you.
Yeah.
Woman was referred to the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife to find a solution. We reached out to them, but they did not respond.
We got to call the news about the raccoon story? No, we're good.
Yeah, we're all right.
You guys got any intel on that raccoon story?
No.
No, we don't. But there you go. So I guess kind of a PSA. A lot of these Kiefer, Matt, and I are PSAs as well. Mixed in with the creature feature.
If you start feeding raccoons right now, as Keith said, by 2059, you're going to be just...
You're in a lot of trouble.
Inundated.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's going to put you out 50K. Who knows with inflation what that'll be in just 35 short years.
Tonight, a man's desperate search for his beloved pet raccoon.
I don't recall.
Go to this lady's house. You get 100 to choose from. If you're in the mind to rescue one. That was a story from 2021.
Nice.
That was a three-year-old raccoon story that we covered here in great detail.
I didn't realize how many raccoon videos there were. That's just Billy's whole.
Oh, Billy's
algorithm.
Dead on.
I had no clue.
I've seen the hot dog one. I've seen the grape one.
I've not seen any of that. I shudder to think what other videos.
You seen Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3?
I'm South at least Park. Aware of that. Yeah, oh,
very emotional. Yeah. Yeah, South Park.
The Woodland Critters.
There's Woodland Critters, and there's the superhero one where Cartman.
Oh,
was.
Right, yeah. right. Yes, yeah, sure. Yeah. With Mintberry Crunch.
Mintberry Crunch.
Correct.
And some of the other characters as well that we.
Captain Hindsight was
in
there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I can't say them all.
I loved General Disarray. Professor K has a General Disarray.
General Disarray. So that's Kiefer awesome. An emergency Kiefer Madness. A creature feature here on Jones and Keith. We've been telling you throughout the day, Jeremy Swayman, we expected this. Jeremy Swayman officially getting the start in net for the Bruins tonight. He makes his debut. What are your expectations for him, and how quickly will he get to form? Hopefully tonight. We have thoughts on that next.